King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me like Mary through the gloom come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Thank you for that, Crystal. When we go to Calvary, we come to recognize the marvelous Lord and God that we have and how He deserves our very best. Wednesday night, Samuel was speaking before our prayer time about our needing to give all of our devotion to the Lord. I told him afterwards that he gave a precursor to my message this morning. You know, it's a blessed thing to come together for prayer. Speaking of Wednesday night, I just encourage you, if at all possible, to come and to pray together with the Lord's people. That's such an important time. I've often said that's maybe the most important time of our church, is when we come together before our God in humbleness to pray. I've titled the message this morning, Giving God Your Best. Giving God Your Best. You know, we're here today to worship our God. really, true worship is really when we give the very best that we have to our God. I have used this and mentioned this in a previous message, but an introduction to this passage, I think back of in college. You think I can't think back that far? No, I remember distinctly a number of classmates that were missionary kids that had grown up on the field. Some were godly and some were ungodly. Some had some bitterness in their hearts. They told of often receiving worn out and damaged supplies from churches and individuals. One of the stories they told were hard to believe until it was verified with what they said, and that was they received a gift of used tea bags. They thought maybe the missionaries could use these. Gift of used tea bags. Because of the real need of some missionaries there when I was in college and we had a missionary a society there, it was decided that a missionary barrel would be set up in the lobby of the boys' dorm in order to deflect those giving of leftovers. There was a large sign that was placed over the barrel that said, "Have any leftovers for God?" You know, that sign had its desired effect upon me. And even today, I often think about that. Do I have leftovers for God? When we come before our God, we want to give Him our very best. And I'd like us to examine this morning and make sure, are we giving God our very best? Giving God our best involves giving God your all. That's kind of what Samuel was giving a devotional on Wednesday night, was our giving God our all. You know, the Lord made a very definite statement about His expectations in the very first commandment in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. You can read in that chapter the Ten Commandments. But the third verse of Exodus 20 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." And then he went on and described that you should not make any graven image of any likeness. You should not bow yourself down to them. And then in the seventh verse it said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And then the eighth, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant and maidservant, or the stranger that is in thy gates." You know, that is an all-encompassing love. Do we love our God with an all-encompassing love? The Lord Jesus summed up those first four commandments in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." He doesn't leave much out, does he? We're to love our God with everything that we have within us. We should love everything about Him. We should let nothing in our life take His supremacy that He has, that He ought to have, that He deserves, that we should be giving Him in our life. You should love His Word completely. We read this morning there in Psalm 119. There in Psalm 119, here he he speaks about how that his word is so important and so encompassing. When David penned these words, this whole psalm from Aleph to Tau. Now you know the phrase from Alpha to Omega, the beginning and the end. Well, this Aleph Tau is the Hebrew alphabet. And if you notice, and in your Bibles, it probably gives the first verse, either before it, it says Aleph, maybe in your Bible it gives the Hebrew designation of what that first letter of the alphabet was. But this Psalm 119 is divided into verses of eight, and each of those eight verses start with, now if we were reading it in Hebrew, every verse of those eight would start with that Aleph. And then when you get to the next eight, they would start with Beth, which is the second Hebrew letter that was written in a poetical form. And so, we lose that in the English translation. But that's why they have put those words before each of those eight verses. But every verse, there's 176 verses, and they're all devoted to something about God's Word. How do we love God's Word? So when we read there, blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. And it goes on. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Blessed art Thou art, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. And God goes on for 137 verses. 136 verses. You can't get 137 divided by 8. 136 verses. But it's a psalm that is penned of the importance and the love that we ought to have. If we're truly going to give our best to the Lord, we're going to love His Word. We're going to love all that He has written in it. We're going to want to devote ourselves to His Word. So here we see that we must recognize that God wants our all. Every bit of us, with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, of our strength that we would give unto the Lord. To give our best to God also involves giving complete obedience. Of course, that follows in following God's Word. But do we give the Lord complete obedience? Obedience before anything. Certainly when we think about that, about our need for obedience to the Lord. We remember Saul in the Old Testament, King Saul. He brought a massive offering to the Lord. He had been out in battle. And he came back, and they were going to offer sacrifice unto the Lord. And there's all of these sheep and oxen. He's going to offer his sacrifice unto the Lord. But in 1 Samuel 15, 22, the Lord said through Samuel, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings, in sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. You know, this passage in 1 Samuel 15 is just it's a passage that we ought to have in our hearts and minds. Because he went on and says, to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken than the fat of rams. And then in the 23rd verse, he makes this statement. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as in iniquity and idolatry. Well, we would say, boy, I'd never get involved in witchcraft. But he says rebellion. When we rebel against something in the Lord's Word, when we rebel against it, want to go our way, instead of giving all over to Him before the Lord, that's like the sin of witchcraft. That's like this stubbornness in our hearts is like, he said, it's like sin and idolatry. It's like bowing down to another God. You know, when we go through this, we begin to realize one thing that Samuel said Wednesday night, if you'd been here, he said, I'm preaching to myself as well as you people. And that's what we recognize. You know, how far short do we come to really wanting complete obedience to God's Word? Complete obedience to what God gives us. We always have excuses. Well, I know what the Lord says, but boy, in my case, you know, and you know, that's what happened with Saul. He decided that he knew a little bit better. He wasn't going to destroy these as God had said. He wasn't going to destroy the king that he was supposed to, but he had a better idea. We're going to have a great big offering for the Lord. You know, sometimes we think, well, if I put enough money in the offering at church, that's going to get me by, right? If I'm going to attend church, that's going to get me by. But as Samuel said to Saul, does the Lord have as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying? You know, before we get into anything else of giving our best, the Lord wants our obedience. And, you know, as a parent, what do you really want with your children? You want them to obey, don't you? You want them to, when they're told to do something, to obey and do it. You don't want them to disobey and then come and say, "Here, mommy, I made this for you." First of all, you want that heart. You want that heart that shows you really love, and that's what God desires for us. He wants all of our heart. He wants us to obey Him, to have such a love of God's Word, as we saw here, that I want to do every part of what He wants. You know, I think of the children's song. I could have the kids all come up and sing it. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, do it immediately. Action is the key, do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Boy, that's a good adult song, you know that? That's a good adult song. We need that as much as the kids need it. We need to know that God wants our very best, and the very first thing that we need is obedience to God's Word. And not decide, but I think I know a better way. But just seeking, here's what God's Word says. Here's what I know the Lord wants, and this is what I'm going to do. The next thing that, you know, in giving God your best, it involves our substance. It involves our substance. How bad does God need what you have? How bad does God need what you have? He doesn't need any of it. God doesn't need any of it. In Psalm 150, the Lord expresses that pretty simply. The Lord says in Psalm 50, verse 10 through 12, He says this, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine." And then He says, "If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." So when we come to giving our best involves our substance, it's not because God needs it. He doesn't need what I have to give. He doesn't need my money. He doesn't need my possessions. It's all His. What we have really is just what He lets use it. But you know, why is it that we give? Because we need it. We give because we need it. There was in Luke chapter 18, there was a ruler that came to Jesus. He came to Jesus and the Lord knew what the need of his heart was. This man said how he kept the commandments. Jesus said to him, "Sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." What was the man's problem? He was trusting in his possessions. He was trusting in his possessions. The Lord just said, "You take what you got and give it to the poor." The Lord didn't need it himself. But he knew this man. He knew this man was trusting in his riches. This man needed to follow him and to, you know, your giving is a demonstration of love. Your giving is a demonstration of love. Love gives, doesn't it? Love gives. And in Luke chapter 21, there's the story of, you've probably all heard and know, it's the story of the widow's mite. That there was as the Lord was standing there with some of his own, and there he said in Luke 21, he saw rich men that were casting their gifts into the treasury. He saw these that were rich, and they were putting their gifts into the treasury there. And then there was this poor widow that cast in two mites. But then Jesus said this, "Of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she," and it's of her penury or of her poorness, "hath cast in all of her living that she had." There was a woman out of her love. She didn't cast in out of her abundance. She really gave all that she had. That's obviously... obviously, it was a matter of faith in her casting there her love. And certainly, as the Lord tells us And as he told us, as Paul wrote there in 1 Corinthians, there was a particular need, and he says, upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. But your giving is a demonstration of obedience in that, recently reading through the minor prophets in the Old Testament, and there in Malachi, the last book of the New Testament, has some really gems in there that we can learn by. They were to be giving a tithe, a tenth, but here is what the Lord said to those there return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord. And they said, well, how shall we return? He said, will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye and all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings that there are, that there be room enough. You know, our giving is, the Lord desires that we give. The Lord desires that we support the work, not because the Lord needs it, because we need it. Many ministries suffer because the Lord's people don't give of their best. I've talked to others and some even around the county here, and they talk about those that are there in their attendance and how they can't support a pastor. And I've always been amazed at the giving of this congregation, because you give. You've got a pastor that's able to give his full time to the ministry here. Care for the needs of the assembly here. To help some with some of the expenses of an intern here. You know, how does that happen? It's because we want to give, not just, we don't give for show. We don't give because God needs it. But God does desire that His people are supported. And that it's that support comes from us. You know, God could have chosen other ways to support His work, but what He has chosen is that it's supported by our people. So we recognize that our giving is really a demonstration of our obedience to the Lord, and it's a demonstration of your faith. You know, in Proverbs 3, we often quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not your understanding. But in the 9th and 10th verse, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst out with new wine. Do we give after we are sure that all of our needs are met? Or do we give first, trusting in the provision of the Lord? The Lord asked in Israel, He said, give of the first fruits. That means give to the Lord first. I remember as a little boy, if I earned anything, no matter what it was that I might have earned. My parents told me that the first belongs to God. You give to the Lord first. And, you know, that's... But that takes faith to do that. You say, wait a minute. I've got other things to care for. You know, back in 1 Kings, Elijah was sent to a widow. And the Lord told Elijah, I want you to go there, and this widow's going to take care of you. It was a time of great famine. That's there in 1 Kings 17, verses 13 and 14 is the verses I would read to you. Elijah went to her and asked her what there she was. She was gathering some sticks. She was going to make a little fire. She said to him, I'm going to make one little cake, and I'm going to use this little bit of oil, and then it's all gone for my son and I, and then we're going to die because they don't have anything else. And Elijah had the gall, actually the direction of the Lord, to say to her, Give to me, go ahead and make that, and give it, and then the Lord will care for you. Look at what 1 Kings 17:13. Elijah said unto her, fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You talk about an act of faith. But she had the word of the Lord. She knew, and she trusted in the Lord, because Elijah gave her the word of the Lord. And so there, that was certainly a demonstration of her faith as she gave. But you know, Matthew 6 is a tremendous passage of Scripture that talks about how we care for the things of this life, and we not recognizing that all that we have has come from God. And in verse 24 of Matthew 6, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and serve riches at the same time. In the 33rd verse, and a verse that we need to live by, is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he was talking about the basics of life, our food and our clothing, and can we give God our best? Can we give Him to Him first? Trusting in Him beyond there? Giving God our best involves giving God your time. You know, our time is a gift of God. Proverbs 27 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know our time, do we? Our time is in God's hand. In Acts 17, in the Lord, for in Him we live and move and have our being. We live every day as a gift. The life that we have is a gift from God. And our time belongs to God. You know, when that fourth commandment in Exodus was, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven. It was a creation principle God gave to us, that that he asks that some of our time be set aside specifically for rest and worship. And, you know, I'm afraid in our country we're losing the Lord's Day. We're losing that time. We're losing setting aside a day. Some will set aside an hour. But to set aside a day. You know, the Lord, He's our Creator. He knows us. He knows what we really need. I think that's why He set it aside as holy. I mean, He said it was a day set aside to Him, and it was for rest and worship. Do we give our day to the Lord? I wrote an article for the Visitor years ago, the High Bible Fellowship Visitor. My day or the Lord's day? What should this day be? Our day? You know, I've had people say, well, that's my day for the family. That's my day. I can't be going to church. I work. I do this. As a boy, we were... We were always in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. We went home, and Mom said, "You got to rest." She said, "You don't have to sleep, but you're gonna lay down. You're gonna rest today." You know, it wasn't a day to go out with all kinds of vigorous activity, but it was to be a different day. It was a day that was set aside to the Lord, I appreciate that emphasis that the Lord made, and it sets you in good stead. I've encouraged you with your family. Help them to see this day as a day of rest and a day of worship. I find that few churches today are even have a second service because people won't come. They got other things they've got to do, and I think I better watch the clock. I think back in my childhood, one of the biggest blessings in our service was the Sunday night service, because there was more opportunity for fellowship, there was more opportunity for testimony. You got to know one another, but we're losing that today. And our society, you know, it used to be the stores weren't open on Sunday. We had the blue laws, except for the hospital and things that were there, you just weren't open. But we've lost that, haven't we? I mean, sometimes, you know, they say, well, I can't work Sunday. Well, if you can't work, then on Sunday, then, you know, they tell us you can't work. You know, we're losing it. But God wants us to set aside, and you know, the Lord asked for our time. He asked that we would ask Him for direction. I think that we quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. The Lord wants our time dedicated to Him. In everything I do, in all my ways, I should acknowledge Him. Lord, what should I do? What about this? Is this the right decision? Our life should be a life living with the Lord before us, where we say, Lord, what in all this that I'm doing, I want your will. I want your way. That should be the let Lord give direction and follow His leading. You know, some of my classmates there in college had said, someday we're going to serve the Lord. But right now, I'm going to have my time and I'm going to have my fun. You know, God's not interested in our someday. He wants, and He doesn't want our leftovers. There's a very interesting verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The Lord wants us from our youth. It says, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, we think we're going to serve the Lord later. But you know what? After a while, the evil days come. After a while, age starts to catch up with you. I hadn't thought about this verse in that way. Now that I'm older, I begin to realize what he's saying there. Nor thy years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, I think of one of the men of our church. I think of Vaughn Robinson. I think Vaughn, you might be listening to this. I don't think he listens to it by live, but I think he gets the recordings, and he's able to listen to our services. But I remember him faithfully serving over the years. A very intricate part of this assembly. But you know, now, you know, he says, I don't think he has any pleasure in these days right now. He's very weak. You know, he's not able to do anything. He's not able to come to our services. But I think of the years and the time he served. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. Serve the Lord with your strength. Give Him your best. Serve Him now. Don't wait and say, I'll do it later. You might not have a later. No, we don't know our time. We also know that it's appointed unto man once to die, and that's a process that takes place over the years, too. Well, God wants our best. As we think of this in conclusion, I think of what, you know, I mentioned the missionary barrel. Have any leftovers for God? And I read there in Malachi in the first chapter, as he was talking to the leaders there and the priests, and he says, ye offer the blind for sacrifice. Is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy persons? They were offering their leftovers. They didn't want to offer their good animals for sacrifice. Hey, we can. This one that's blind, he'll make as good a sacrifice as the other. They were giving their leftovers to God. And the Lord says, if you offer it to your governor, will he be pleased? Yet you would offer it to the Lord. The Lord doesn't want our leftovers. The Lord wants our very best, and we want to give our very best. I think of You know, I think of Abraham when the heavenly visitors came. What did he do? He went out and prepared the choice calf. The wise men, when they came to worship the Lord, they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. David, we've read there in the psalm, he says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." The disciples, we saw them leave all and follow the Lord. Yes, giving our best to the Lord involves giving your all. It involves giving your complete obedience. Yes, it involves giving of our substance and involves giving of our time. You know, a message like this, looking through those scriptures, it makes us stop and evaluate, doesn't it? Makes me stop and evaluate. You know, if we compare ourselves with others around us, we could look pretty good. Because we can always pick somebody that doesn't do as good as we do. But if we compare ourselves with God's standard, how far short do we go? Let us commit ourselves to give our best unto the Lord, to give Him our all, shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, direct us, convict us, show us, lead us in all our ways. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Pastor?
Thank you for that message. It's one we all needed to hear. And so thank you very much. Let's turn in our hymnals to 368. Have I done my best for Jesus? Let's all stand as we sing this hymn in close. 368. Have I done my best for Jesus? Thank you. God of peace that brought again the dead from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.